This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries.
And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
May you take your seat in the house of the Lord. Amen.
It's good to be back. I want to start by appreciating the whole church. I won't be able to mention all names. I'm not even attempt to mention names. How you have stood with us, reached out to us in many ways. To me in particular and my entire family. It has been about 3 or 4 weeks now that I've been away. The very first time this has happened, leaving the ship. But I understand the great shepherd has been taking good care of you. Somebody say amen. Amen. To God, you did what you did. And he is a faithful rewarder in the various ways that he has enabled you to serve. This is a great testimony that the church belongs to God. Somebody say amen. I'm only opportune to be a temporal shepherd under the great shepherd. And it's good sometimes that we are tested. We don't have to be comfortable all the time. Sometimes it upsets things for our own good. I wish I could take time to give you some of the bits of what happened back home. But one thing I can tell you is that it was a time of mourning, a time of reunion, being a time of remembering the truth of our living in this life. It has been very tough, quite emotional. Within the space of 3 to 4 months, I lost 2 of my loved ones. My immediate brother and the firstborn in our family. My mother is 97 this year, and she is standing strong in the Lord. Amen. It was quite emotional when she laid her hands on me, saying, "If the Lord wills, we shall see again." It was difficult to bid her goodbye. But one thing is certain and sure, that we only part to meet. Hallelujah. And there is a time we will part no more. Somebody say amen. Let it be our story, as that song, "This Is My Story," keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection. Keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection. As I was seated in the plane coming back, I was thinking and meditating and asking the Lord, what will he have me share? I attempted to give it away to somebody to lead and for me to enjoy the service. But it was impressed upon my heart to reflect back on what you have celebrated on the 5th of April. As always, on any major calendar event in HICF, you must be familiar with my styles of gleaning over what has been done. For the Easter season, the theme we had is celebrating the risen Christ in me. And then looking at what I will glean over, it was given me to talk on keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection. The resurrection is not only the climax of the testimony of the four Gospels, which each one of them talked about. You know, they are uniquely the synoptic gospel, the three, and John was very specific in different things presenting the life of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection in all the gospel reflects that it is the climax. It's not only the climax of the testimony of the New Testament gospel, but it's also the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith in Christ Jesus. Without resurrection, Christianity, without our resurrection, Christianity collapses into just another moral philosophy, into just another religious ritual, satisfying man's quest to worship something. Yes, it will have collapsed without the resurrection. Our faith will have been futile, as it is given in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Another synonym for futile is useless, pointless, vain, wasted, ineffective. And it ends up that you are still in your sin if Christ have not been risen. That we are still in our sin. That's serious. This underscores the importance of our resurrection in our lives day after day. And with this truth of his resurrection, we proclaim a living Savior. Spiritual death is defeated, and a hope that will never be cut off. Let us first understand this theme, the next slide. Keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection. Let us understand a bit of this theme. Keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection. Keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection. If you look at it, there could be 3 to 4 sub-themes under this one theme. Just like the Easter theme, celebrating the risen Christ in me, celebrating is one thing. Celebrating the risen Christ is one thing. And celebrating the risen Christ in me is another different thing. Because some are celebrating Christ, not the risen Christ. Some people are celebrating Jesus, not the risen Jesus. While some celebrate the risen Christ. Celebrating the risen Christ is one aspect, but celebrating the risen Christ in me is another different story. Likewise, under this theme, we have 3 sub-themes. We have the truth and reality, the relevance of his resurrection is one thing. Keeping alive the truth of his resurrection is another thing. Then we talk about the evidences. Then keeping alive. What does it mean to keep alive? The evidences of his resurrection. What are the credible evidences of his death and resurrection that we want to keep alive? How do we keep them alive? We all know the importance of evidence, proofs in our various aspects of our lives. Under this theme, what are the evidences of his resurrection? I have 3 points, and they are all one together. The empty tomb. the eyewitnesses, the radical transformed lives of the apostles. There could be other evidences, but I chose to put more emphasis on these three things. The evidences of his resurrection. What are the evidences? The empty tomb, the eyewitness, the radical transformation of lives. I believe we all know these three things. The important thing is the implication or translation, in other words, the transformation in our lives. How are these things ought to be reflected, a living testimony in our lives? Otherwise, it will just be an information and no any transformation. The information, there is an empty tomb. There were eyewitnesses. Then the radical transformation of lives. It can be just information. But what is the implication of these three things in my life? It is just like in physiology or in simple biology, we know that proteins are made of amino acids. Now there is something going viral now about peptides. You have to be very careful to rely on those influencers, what they tell you about peptides. Peptides, in simple words, are short proteins. And we have essential and non-essential amino acids. Now, the reality is like the empty tomb, the eyewitnesses, the radical transformation, they can't be like just the amino acids if they are not put together through what we call transcription and translation. We will not have the proteins. So you can just be having this information. This is the amino acids. This is one. You put them together, they become protein. Without that, there will be no proteins if you don't have the amino acids. So it is good to know, to understand the empty tomb is there, the eyewitnesses, the radical transformation of the apostles, radical transformation. It was just an easygoing thing. And there is that aspect of our spiritual lives. I'm a Christian. I believe in the resurrection. I believe that the empty tomb is there. My life is transformed, but it has no impact. Let's look at the very first one, the empty tomb. Thank God the body was not there. Somebody say amen. If the body was still there, even though the women were trying to get some spices in order to preserve the body to remain inside the tomb, but thank God the body was not there. Somebody say amen. If the body had been found, our Christianity would have been what? A futile thing. A sorry case. A wasted time. We are deceiving ourselves. Every gospel writer affirmed that the tomb was empty on the third day. And even Jesus' enemies, they knew the tomb was empty. They only believed that it was stolen. That's only different. But the tomb was still empty. But the disciples came even after a seal was placed on it. But the body was not there. What happened? What happened? Where did the body go? Matthew chapter what? 28 verse 6. He is not there. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. I don't know how you have thought about this sentence. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. What do you have out of this? It's your testimony that will determine what will happen in your life. What have you said? What have you been doing? Will it stand the test of time? Will your claims stand the test of time? You remember the story of the paralytic man in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12? Jesus said, spoke to him, "Son, your sin is forgiven." And they took stones. They wanted to crucify him. They want to accuse him. "Who is he?" "He's a man." But Jesus told him, "Pick up your mat and go, son. Because the Son of Man has power to forgive sins on earth." The man was always lying on the mat. But coming in contact with Jesus, the mat that used to carry him turns around that he carried the mat. And Jesus said something very important, which is easier to do. To say, forgive the man or heal him. You can have a miracle, but yet you are in sin. You can have your miracles. Don't be deceived with miracles. You can have that miracle and still remain sinful. But you can have your forgiveness and yet the miracle is not there and still you are saved. Hallelujah. I'm bringing that point to warn about miracles in our days. That by the evidence of miracles is coming from God. The tomb is empty. Is that your testimony? The question here is, where are the empty tombs in your life? Where is the empty tomb of anger? Where is the empty tomb of unforgiveness? Where is the empty tomb of sexual immorality? Where is the empty tomb of lukewarmness? Does the tomb still have those things under different circumstances? Where are the empty tombs in your life? Can you yourself say, based on your lifestyle, the empty, it's empty. Unforgiveness is empty. Waywardness is empty. Because God has raised you up. And you're no longer going back to it. So my very question is, where are your empty tombs in your life? He is not here. He has risen. I have moved on. It was my life before. I have the evidences. Look at, it's empty. Unforgiveness is empty. Hatred is empty. Sexual immorality is empty. Where are the empty tombs in your life? Think about that. Keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection, the empty tombs in your life. Let's go to the second point. The eyewitnesses. In every court of law, eyewitnesses are very important. Your own testimony alone is hardly credible. People around need to testify about who you are. The first thing is the empty tomb, personal thing. But the second one, eyewitnesses. We understand that Jesus didn't arise in secret. Jesus took upon himself to appear multiple times to different individuals and groups. Mary Magdalene, the apostles, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and even to 500 people at once when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Will people look at your life? One of the things, the testimonies that we had about our sister, my sister. In fact, somebody was saying, which house in your city that your sister is not related to? She's a builder, a unifier. She has touched lives, changed lives. Her ministry is love for the children. There was testimony that abounds to the glory of God about her. She's a mother in Israel. That day something happened as she lay in state during the week keeping service. They were talking about her. She's a mother from nowhere. A chicken appeared with her cheeks and came to the coffin to stand there. And people quickly took note of that. She's indeed a mother. People testify. She doesn't despise small beginnings. She raised children, orphans. She blessed many. She started ministries, built schools. That's from the eyewitnesses. What are people talking about you? What is your testimony? Remember, if it is you that will testify about yourself, how credible is that testimony? It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine. So that what? That they may see your good works and what? Glorify you. Is that right? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. The eyewitnesses invite public scrutiny about who you are. The eyewitness. What are people? You are not doing it for people to see or to commend you, but you cannot do without the testimony of people. When God has given you a new life, you cannot continue to hide it. Be isolated. Number 3, the radical transformation of the disciples. We have two aspects of the disciples. Before the resurrection, they were afraid, they were scattered, they were in hiding. And then we look at the life of disciples after the resurrection. They became bold, fearless, witnesses, willing to die for Christ. Radical transformation include going through life's Gethsemane. We know what Jesus said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Radical transformation. Will all these disciples die for a lie? A lie that they invented? Since you became a child of God, what are the radical transformations in your life? Are there witnesses? Can you testify that your life has been changed? What are the evidences of his resurrection in your life? Are you keeping them alive? The tomb. What are the empty tombs there? Are there eyewitnesses? Has your life been transformed? Next slide, as we round up. Now look at both the empty tomb and the eyewitnesses can be there, but if there is no radical transformation, it's all wasted. Yes, the empty tomb is there. The eyewitnesses are there. But if there is no radical transformation in your lives, it's all futile. Wasted effort. Let me put this as an example. You have a new car, new chassis, new engine. The tank is filled with gas. The engine started. It's running fine. But the car remains in one point. Doesn't do anything. Unfortunately, some of us are like that. The empty tomb is there. The eyewitnesses are there. But nothing has changed in your life. Can you imagine a new car? Brand new engine. Filled with gas. Engine started, but in one point. What is the purpose? Keeping alive means keeping breathing in and out of this truth that Christ is risen in you. How do you go about doing this? Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind day after day. This is how to keep alive. By renewing your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I'm going to read those three scriptures again in helping us to understand how we will keep alive the evidence of his resurrection in our lives. You remember the tomb, the empty tomb, right? The eyewitnesses and the transformed life. Now we're talking about that transformed life, keeping alive. It means keep breathing in and out of this truth that Jesus is resurrected. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25. The NIV version, I decided to put it this way. Then we'll read the MSG. Here it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with what? The Spirit. Some of you that are saying, leave me alone, I don't like all these spirit things. All right? Well, you'll not be keeping in step with the Spirit of God. The Message Bible reads it this way. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen. How many people have chosen to live a life of the resurrected Savior? How many? All of us here. So since this kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an what? An idea in our heads. Head knowledge. Let it from the head knowledge run down into your head. Avoid allowing it to be a sentiment in our hearts. But work out its what? Implication. In every detail of what? Our lives. In every detail. In every aspect. At all times. In all places. Independent of geographical location or time difference. We live with the implication of his resurrection. That is one of the ways of keeping alive the evidences of his resurrection. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 14 IV. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. What are the things? Can you tell your neighbor the things that are at the right hand of God? The things where Christ is. What are those things? What are those things? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. So the question again is, what are the things that are above? That you are asked to set your mind on things that are above. What are the things? Can Can you count 1, 2, 3, 4 the things that are above, seated with Christ? Some of the things that you set your mind on, are they the things that are above? What are the things that are above? Then this is one of the ways of keeping alive the evidences of his resurrection, by setting our minds, our hearts on things that are above. What are those things? What are those things that your mind is so focused on now? Are they the things that reflect what is with Christ Jesus? It's a personal question, very simple message. If you do not set your heart focus on things above, you will not be able to be living a life that reflects the resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10. We also carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. What does it mean to carry around in our body the death of Jesus? Let us read the translation, the TPT. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own body, so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our what? Humanity. If we consider living to mean that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So then, death is at work in us, but it releases life in you. It's like kind of a paradox. You are dying, but you are being brought back to life in Christ Jesus. We carry around in our body the death of Jesus. That is what it means. Denying yourself daily. Dying to yourself. As you continually to do that, you are keeping alive the evidence of his resurrection, because only the life of Jesus will be seen in your life. Think about that. These are some of the ways to keep alive the evidence of his resurrection in our lives. Brothers and sisters, keep alive means keep breathing in and out of this truth that Jesus is risen and is being evident in your life. And whatsoever that you do, that your life reflects the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. The call is keep alive the evidence of his resurrection. Where are your empty tombs? The eyewitnesses. The transformed life. Radical transformation of your life. It has to be radical. It's not going to be easy. You have to come through the Gethsemane in your life. Denying yourself, so that the life of Christ may be revealed even in you. It's a reminder, on the 5th we celebrated his resurrection. But today we are talking about keeping alive this resurrection of Christ. The empty tomb, the eyewitnesses, the radical transformation of your life to the glory of God.